Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast. We are going to be starting. This is the Wednesday night show that I love. It's Happy Dusty Day for me, where you get to watch AEW and NXT. We only talk about NXT on this particular podcast. That's a different one. But I feel like that both these things came out of Dusty's loins.
There is no way you are the fruit of my loins. The first thing I'm going to do when I get home is slap your mama in the mouth.
Jackie Gleason was Jackie just an angry version of Dusty Rhodes.
Can you see Jackie Gleason playing Dusty Rhodes in the Dusty Rhodes movie? I could have seen that. It's been great.
Or Dusty playing Jackie Gleason.
In the Jackie Gleason movie. Either one of those would have been epically good.
Missed their opportunities. So the start of the Dusty Cup is coming up as we pay tribute to Dusty over the course of the month. New programs will be introduced in this, and we actually have two Dusty Cups now because the women's division has one as well. Yes, Shotzi Blackheart initiates your show with her tank. Sadly, we don't have because Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae are wrestling Shotzi here, and we don't have Austin Theory's bullseyes to be aimed at here. So there's no fireworks.
No nerf ball to the
groin area. But we do get a match. And Shotzi's hot early. She's been in the submission wrestling area of the gym lately because she's doing great.
Oh, she's doing a lot better. She's got a lot more chain wrestling this stuff.
This was fantastic. Multiple arm bars. She had some kind of strange little roll around segment there that looked really good.
Yes.
I don't remember.
There were several moves involved there.
Yeah. She can be a tad slow, but again, like we've said before, she has a little Becky to her.
Yeah.
Gravity affects her a little different than others.
Yeah.
But she is plotting in a good way, I think. And I Candice LeRae is just an amazing performer anyway.
Yeah, she can make a lot of people look good.
Correct. Now, Indy interferes every time we think that Shotzi has a shot here. And the point here was for Shotzi to look like $1 million.
And still not win.
While losing, yeah. Right. And the spinning neck breaker from the second rope was well done.
Yeah.
Again, this happens on another distraction. And Shotzi's frustrated. And Candice and her buddy Indy Wrestling are doing great. And
Indy Wrestling is hilarious.
It's great. Okay. So I love the way we started out hot there. Finn hits the ring, wants to give a solo promo. Kyle O'Reilly's great, but he's not on my level. Fair enough. You won. I love this version of Finn.
Mm-hmm.
What his trip back to NXT has done for his career.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Turned it around.
And it's crazy that we couldn't get this.
No.
On the other two shows.
Well, no, because he had to be generic good guy number three until they needed him to do the demon thing, and then he was back to being generic good guy number three. And
correct. And here he's being the prince.
Yeah.
And it works. And it's why they signed him.
Exactly.
Literally why he signed him was because he was the prince. To the point of this, though, Pete Dunne comes out to interrupt and points out that his whole career he's followed Finn's.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody considers Finn European wrestling. And I've always known to be where I want to be, I've got to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time. I've ascended to the point where taking you out is the next logical step. And that's coming right now. I thought this was well done. Pete gave a good promo to close to great promo here.
Yeah.
Lurch was with him. Lorcan and Birch.
How they're not named Lurch yet, I don't know.
We're going to continue to call them that till somebody figures it out.
Yes.
Then they jump Finn, beat him down pretty good.
Well, and he had that good little showing at the beginning. It was well done.
Yes, he attacked because he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Which you should do.
Exactly.
And he did do well, like you said. I'm glad you pointed that out. But, of course, numbers games being what they are, wrestling the tag team champs and a guy that's formidable, or fist fighting, Kyle O'Reilly comes out, which was interesting to me a little bit because he just said you weren't on his level, but Kyle had a problem with Pete anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't not make sense. They've been in a feud with Lurch
mm-hmm.
this whole time. We get the rest of Undisputed Era come out, and we kind of, in a sort, they clear the ring eventually. Now, you have a little bit of a shot across the bow to a group of people who are emphasizing the fact that they love New Japan on a different show without actually saying a word. Adam Cole, former Bullet Club.
Former Bullet Club leader, yes.
Kyle O'Reilly, former Bullet. New Japan Wrestling. I'm not sure he was in Bullet Club, but I am sure that Red Dragons was a big deal over there, his tag team with Bobby Fish, who's hurt. Finn Balor, the starter.
Leader.
The leader, the guy who,
OG.
The genesis of the Bullet Club, are all in the ring together. They're away from each other. You have the crowd chanting Too Sweet, which kind of, because there isn't a real crowd, it's only like 20 people that are tested before they come in there, or maybe 100 people that are tested before they come in there, and a piped in crowd.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that somebody said, let's hit them with the Too Sweet button.
Yeah. Dude, I got this button here.
I don't think that was organic.
No.
I think they planted it, and then they didn't follow up on it, which, as we all know, the chase is better than the catch anyway.
Always.
And so Finn, looking at those guys in the ring, reminds you...
Yeah, who these guys are.
Right. And, oh, by the way, these guys are still in their primes.
Yeah.
Kenny's still in his. Kenny's still in his.
Yes. You know, this is pretty good. That AJ Styles guy.
And by the way,
he used to be in that group too, didn't he?
By the way, we also have YB3. Do you know who that is?
No.
That's my nickname for Adam Cole.
Oh.
The third Young Buck.
The third Young Buck.
He freaking wrestles like a Young Buck.
He does. He does.
Nothing wrong with that. The whole world loves the Young Bucks.
Yes.
But let's don't act like that dude ain't a Young Buck.
Yeah.
Because it's only because he never was in the group.
That's it.
They are the same thing. They wrestle the same way. And they're Adam Cole, like I say, when I watch a Young Buck match, I always say, well, it was a Young Buck match. That doesn't mean I didn't like it, but it was a Young Buck match.
Yes.
When I watch an Adam Cole match, I always say, eh, it was an Adam Cole match.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I didn't like it. It means it's kickouts and it's craziness and there's super kicks. And I've grown more affectionate for both over the amount of time. You know what I mean? Because once you qualify that, this is what you're getting.
Yeah. Once you know that this is what the plot's going to be.
It's like Goldberg matches, how they grow.
No.
It is not like Goldberg matches. No. Well, to be fair, a Young Buck match is designed to go longer.
Yes.
An Adam Cole match is designed to go longer.
Uh-huh.
Goldberg matches aren't.
No. They're designed to maximize what he does well, which is walk.
Tackle.
Out to the ring, tackle somebody, and then run, go away.
Yes, and growl like a bulldog. Okay, so anyway, I don't know why we're still killing that poor guy. Okay.
Because they're making us watch him?
Yes, yes, Oldberg. Okay, Johnny talks about The Way, which I love the name. Austin Theory shows up with a... He says, you know, my wife is great, and I'm going to continue to defend my title. Austin Theory shows up and says, the guy gave me this manila envelope to show you.
Uh-huh.
And he's like... Of course, Johnny's like, you idiot, what guy? And he says, you know, the guy. Austin plays dumb better than any dumb person I've ever seen. And his thick-headedness, he opens the envelope up, and there's a picture of Johnny crying.
Yes.
And then, which is funny to Austin until he sees the picture of himself being an idiot.
Yeah, getting hit in the junk.
And of course, Johnny... rightly wonders why you would accept a gift from the guy that I'm wrestling next to begin with. And, you know, Austin is, you know, I hope he's smart in real life.
Yeah, because if he's not, wow.
If he is this character, if he's not this character, he's a hell of an actor.
Yeah.
If he is this character, I hope he has someone that can help him with everything in life.
Yes.
But... Grizzled Young Vets versus Ever-Rise.
Grizzled Young Veterans.
How Ever-Rise was ever something I didn't want to see, I'm not figuring out now. Yeah. Because they are great all
they're
of a sudden.
They're hilarious.
Yeah, and they run their mouths while they're doing fairly well. A running jerk commentary throughout the match. Their arrogance is over the top. I did enjoy the fact that tournament, but we've said this before, tournament formats allow you to put heels in the ring against each other. And the Grizzled Young Veterans are the exact opposite style of a heel. They're just on the heel side of a Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
No nonsense, willing to do dirty stuff, jump you, run you down on the mic. Not cowardly.
No, no, no.
Ever Rise is the opposite.
Yes.
Completely cowardly.
Yes.
The Sami Zayn
side
of it all. And the little guy, what is his name? The little heavier guy. He is so...
Yeah, the funnier one. I don't remember their names.
Chase, Parker, and Matt Martell. Matt Martell is the dude that I absolutely love, by the way. The little one with the big mouth.
Yes.
And he winds up catching the ticket to Mayhem. Everything gets helter-skelter for a little bit, and then you get the ticket to Mayhem for the win. I thought it was a really good match. I enjoyed the way it was worked. You liked it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love both of these teams. I think they're both fun.
Exactly. And Grizzled Young Vets are fun in a way where they should have a title at some
point. Yes, definitely.
And Ever Rise are fun in a way of you really need something like this on your show if you're going to have a tag team division.
Yeah.
All right. And so then we move on because we have Raquel Gonzalez. We have a little promo thing where we talk about the fantastic Last Woman Standing match from last week. And then Raquel lets everybody know she's coming for EO, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that match. Then we have a North American title match where Loomis is wrestling Johnny Gargano. This, again, was really great wrestling. Loomis, this was one of the matches where we get to see Loomis wrestle a little more.
Yeah.
Johnny is going, in order for Johnny to beat people, the diminutive as he is, he always has to take him into deeper waters.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky enough to have his sidekick the way he does the things they do.
Uh-huh.
Candace and Johnny are almost the same wrestler.
Yes, very much so.
And they both have Theory and Indy doing the same shtick outside, so it mirrors itself.
Which is perfect for them.
Works. And you cannot have a bad match with them in it.
No.
Johnny Kickout's always going to give you a good match.
Yes.
And Loomis, because the match goes a little bit longer, there are moments where he goes for a cover and there's a kickout and you see a little bit of like human.
Yeah.
And then he slips right back into character, which is good. And he also almost gets pinned a couple of times here and there. So I thought this was really well done. Loomis winds up with Theory, who's trying to help in a silent, they call it the silence chokehold. Now Gargano goes for the roll up, and Loomis actually gets rolled up while throwing Theory through the air.
That was cool.
It was so well done. Theory rolls out of the ring. 1, 2, 3. Loomis loses. As we've kind of learned about Loomis, he doesn't lose because he was out physicalityed.
Yeah.
Something weird happens.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't always, when he loses, worry so much about the guy he loses to.
No.
He's worried about the guy who cost him.
Yeah.
And so he's, as Johnny is celebrating, he slithers across the ring.
It catches old Austin Theory slipping.
Right. To which, of course, Johnny goes to help him because now he's in the Theory is in the silence again, the silence chokehold again. Kushida comes out. The point of Johnny right now is that he is going to be going into a program with Kushida.
Yes.
Kushida comes out, stops their beatdown of Loomis, not necessarily for Loomis' sake, but because he wants a piece of Johnny. And Johnny's got something to deal with, and that's something, again, we talked about how this show has some really good New Japan talent.
Yeah, Kushida being one of the greatest of all time.
Right, and he's going into a program right here. Yeah, with
King of Super Juniors.
I think Kushida needs a belt.
Oh, definitely.
He's been in the company a long time. He deserves one.
He does.
So then we get, Wade Barrett, Thatcher, Ciampa are going to be sitting at a table and discussing their fight in the fight pit.
Mm-hmm.
Ciampa would like for Thatcher to divulge his injury, which seems like bad business if you're Thatcher, to put a bullseye on a spot. Thatcher says that there is uncertainty in Ciampa and that he can sense it and that he's going to take and that he has been trying to teach the younger talent on the roster how to be better wrestlers and that when I get you into the fight pitch, which is my home, which sounds like a terrible place to live. It looks incredibly uncomfortable there. There's no
terrible sauce. Property values.
Yes. Yeah. It's just,
your resale is going to be terrible.
It's terrible. But once I get you there, I'm going to put you away. I don't lose in a fight pit. That's my fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's my style of match. Ciampa says that you have taken liberties with these young men, which
sounds gross.
It's horrible. But I don't think that's what that meant. I think what he meant was you're
snapping. He's not talking about Dream? No. I couldn't stop it.
Woof.
I was sitting here thinking it. I was like,
you know what? It was apropos.
It was. It was there.
So, he was speaking more of breaking wrist, elbow, shoulders style of liberties. And that Ciampa will take liberties with Thatcher, which...
Also disturbing.
Thatcher being in his 30s is not as worrisome as maybe. Anywho, I'm really looking forward to this. I thought this was good.
Yeah.
I appreciated the fact that it didn't come to blows. Mm-hmm. Barrett was great in pointing out that there are similarities between the characters.
Oh, yes.
And they seem formidable, and it seems like a great place for them to be to help one another gain respect from audiences. Mm-hmm. Now we move on to Swerve Scott versus MSK. And, of course, who could MSK be? It turns out they're the Rascals.
Rascals!
From Impact Wrestling, and these guys are fantastic. And if you have never seen them, now Trey Miguel is not with them right now. He's independent right now. If you go to his Twitter feed, it says for bookings.
Oh,
you know, hit this website. So I assume he's waiting to sign. He was the one that was put in a lot more solo programs. Yeah. Although Wentz, which they're calling them something else right now. Yeah. But Wentz, when Trey Miguel got hurt, Wentz got a couple of solo opportunities too, and he really excelled in them.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys are amazing wrestlers.
Yeah,
and they're a great tag team. And it was they did a segment on their YouTube on the WWE YouTube channel where these guys talked about how this was always their goal to be in WWE, and it felt legit. You know, the one guy said, you know, Wentz said, I'm into pro wrestling because of my father. My father passed away when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Him getting, I feel like he gets to watch this. Mm-hmm. I've achieved my goal. This was what we always wanted to watch on TV together. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Their match was fantastic. Swerve Scott and Atlas have spent time with one another, even though it was going to be a one-off match because they wind up losing.
And you knew they were going to fall apart because they've been kind of feuding with each other a little bit. But they looked really good together. They're very good.
They are very good, and they spend enough time to get a couple of combo moves that would make it look like, hey, well, maybe they are going to be a tag team.
Yes.
Which allows you to think that maybe the other team could lose.
Yeah. Right. A little suspension of disbelief because they played it so well.
Now, the guy that's not Wentz, they're calling – Wentz is being called Nash, I believe, and Wes Lee is the other gentleman, and he is a physical
specimen, freak. Buddy.
He hit an El Generico Swanton over the top rope move.
Yeah,
whatever you call that, Kenny Omega, El Generico. I'm leaping, and then somehow I manage at the last minute to flip over as my arms are extended. Uh-huh. Almost a flying squirrel move.
Yes.
He hit that, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And he lays across the announcer's table pumping his arm. You could tell he's loving it. And then they get back into the ring, and Atlas and them don't win. Now, an interesting thing, too, this is just so – I hate this nitpicky when I'm watching it, not nitpicking in a bad way. Wesley he does a left-handed chest slap in the middle of the ring. And he did it like he was a left-handed hitter in baseball. And he followed his swing all the way through and extended his arm like he'd hit a home run.
Uh-huh.
And that allowed him to ball up his fist and come right back with a right cross.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, how on earth is that not every single chest slap?
Yeah.
How do you not – I mean, I don't recall somebody making it look that much like a baseball swing before.
Yeah.
And I thought –
that looks way better.
Every left-handed hitter that ever got into wrestling should do that. It looks it looked like Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah.
Oh, you people don't remember Daryl Strawberry. Okay, Barry Bonds, you may remember.
Like Daryl Strawberry beating somebody who owed him money.
He owed people
money. Owed money, yeah.
But he's remedied all those things.
Yes.
He has his own – we've talked about this before. He actually has his own nonprofit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah. Okay, anyway – moving on to the match, we get a neck breaker, spine buster combo thingy, and for the win. Now they do a great move too, where Wentz always does a leaping, what do you call it? A leaping moonsault.
Yeah.
And he, but he does it about 2 feet away
and from the guy. He pushes him through the air.
Optically, like a, it looks so good.
Yeah.
Devil,
shooting star press.
A devil may care attitude, too, yeah, as to where I land on you. And so then, of course, but they changed up their finisher to what I just said. The neckbreaker spinebuster combo is the actual finish in the match. So now they have two finishers. Good for them. I can't wait to watch them wrestle more. I hope they get to go deep into this tournament.
It'd be cool. It'd be really good.
Right, right. Katsunzano, or as we like to call her, Miss Ninja, and Kate and Carter do a little talking as they will be wrestling Tony Storm and Martinez next week. And it looks as if we're pairing off heels because Gonzalez is with Dakota Kai.
Yes.
Storm is with Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
And unless the story winds up being Storm and Mercedes can't get along, Mercedes and Storm are they can absolutely do exactly what Kai and Gonzalez do, yeah, which makes the show so much more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we get so that's going to be in the first round of this Dusty tournament next week, I think so. Zia Lee gets the promo thing up next. The promo treatment and the up next treatment where they tell you like she's a special event.
She is a special event now.
Right. Exactly right. And they're portraying her as such. Now she gets a squash match. Huge intro, squash match.
She hits her with this right hand.
Oh my God, that girl tried to shoot. And Zia sidestepped her and, like you said, just dropped her like a sack of potatoes.
Right hand, man.
And out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then hits her with that, Trouble in Paradise, whatever you want to call it. Zia Lee throws it way better than Kofi ever has in his career. I love Kofi's.
Two strikes.
That was it.
Two strikes.
You're done.
Thing's over. 1, 2, 3. And it looked legitimate.
Yes.
And her, like I said, her punch was so... Because the first time she went through, it was almost like, have you ever heard of the Phantom Punch, the second Ali Liston fight? You know, nobody saw it, but he went down. That was like that for me. I had to rewind and look at it again. And sure enough, she almost clipped her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is the point.
Yeah.
You know, so well. Okay.
When you throw it correctly and it's fast like that, you don't see it.
When you actually are a striker.
Yeah.
Right. She used a different weapon this time. What did she use?
She had a staff this time. She had a...
What do you call it?
Bow staff.
A bow staff.
Yeah.
I called it a stick thingy.
Stick thingy works.
Yeah.
Yes. Technically the same thing.
But then I also said, ask Justin what it okay.
We'll get a new Chinese weapon every week, probably.
I hope so.
I'm down for that.
I actually was thinking that.
There are literally hundreds of them. The Chinese were very inventive with their different hand-to-hand weapons. There's a lot of ridiculous ones out there, too. Which can be even better.
Mm-hmm. Scarlet Speaks. She says evil things with evil tarot cards, and it looks like they're coming for the prince as well. Again, they keep. Finn Balor is not the focus of the show. There's a lot going on, but it's not like Finn ever doesn't have two or three guys lined up to fight him either.
No.
And all of them are the kind of people that could end him. And if you wanted to put a belt on Dunn, you could still have the program.
Yes.
With Finn and.
Oh, with Karrion Kross? Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, at any one of these rivalries, he could lose and still wind up in the next program, and it would be a big deal on the show.
Yeah, it would.
And
it would. Yeah, it would.
Which is how you should write a wrestling show.
What?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Now, TikTok, which is not the TikTok thing on your Twitter feeds.
No, guys. Different.
The clock is counting down. Now, after that match, after the Zia Lee match, she does get told to go back and fight again. Was that a Mortal Kombat?
Kind of.
Callback right almost. There from the movie?
No. It looked sort of similar. You know, the lady up the top's definitely got a Shang Tsung thing going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Xavier Woods was like, was that my favorite scene in my favorite movie?
Yeah.
Which, of course, Mortal Kombat would be Xavier Woods. Favorite thing.
She kicked it. Yeah, she threw. Yeah, she threw that knee to the face while she was hung up in the ropes.
Yikes!
That looked awful.
In a good, like, it looked great. It looked legitimate.
Yeah,
it looked like it would hurt. Yeah,
she's dangerous looking. Now. Yeah, she is like terrifying.
Right, she's so ripped.
Yeah, dude, she's strut.
Yeah. Atlas and Swerve Scott get into it backstage, which kind of makes sense because they were in a rivalry before they ever got into the tournament. Bronson Reed gets between them. Now, Bronson has already beaten Swerve once And Bronson tells him to stand down or sit down. Same thing.
Yeah.
Stand down would be a military version of sit down, which would be the backstage wrestler version.
Yes.
And Swerve looks like he wants a piece of Bronson, which I'm not 100% sure he does, but we'll see. Lucha House Party versus Imperium next week. Kushida and Ruff versus The Way next week. Fight Pit is next week. I threw a little Southern accent in there. Fight Pit.
Fight
I?
Piot.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes would say the Fight Piot.
Yeah. Well, in honor of the Dusty Rhodes classic, I let my cantonment come out. Ciampa and Thatcher are next week. And then we get our main event, which is Fandango versus Breezango.
Really? Really? That was
actually that is not the main event.
Because that would have been a crazy, like, multiple universe kind of main event.
Which would have been awesome.
Yes.
But in the actual main event was Roddy and Cole versus Breezango. And Roddy and Cole have been talking up Breezango, justifiably so.
Oh, yes. I'm loving it.
We get a fantastic match. Veterans. Tyler Breeze is such a good wrestler.
Oh, like, man,
Adam Cole may be the worst wrestler in this match. And it's crazy because Adam Cole's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But Tyler Breeze is... But Cole's a star.
Yeah.
Outside of the wrestling part. And he tells good stories and all that. But, dude, Tyler Breeze is great.
He's so good. Smooth. Smooth all the time.
And Fandango being smooth has been weird. We've talked about that before, how he's come into his own. And Roddy, I just love watching Roddy.
Oh, dude, he is as good as... Between those ropes, as good as anybody you'll ever see.
Yeah, they did some kind of awful combo move there where Roddy did his backbreaker, but on the ribs.
Yeah.
And Cole, like, kicked the guy in the head. It was so rough looking. Yes, yes. Breeze hits an inverted backstabber, too.
Yes.
But it wasn't really inverted. It was on somebody's ribs.
Yeah, it looked terrible.
Oh, my God. Again, though, if you didn't lacerate the guy's kidney, it really looked good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lurch and Dunn attack, and they beat down O'Reilly outside of the ring. Finn tries to stave it off, but again, it's 3-on-2, which doesn't work out. With O'Reilly getting his face pushed against the, what do you call the thing you climb? That holds the lights.
The lighting, yeah, just the lighting structure, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. He's getting his head shoved against that, and it's down to 3-on-1. And then, of course, as Cole sees all this going on, he's thinking of going over and helping, but he winds up, because Breezango and them don't really care about all that.
No.
That's got nothing to do with it. They wind up jumping Cole as he's trying to get involved in the other, because he eats a kick. Cole eats a kick.
Yeah.
And then we get the top rope, strong knee to Breeze, elimination combo, and, of course, the good guys, strangely enough,
win.
Undisputed Era are good guys.
Yes.
Quickly,
they
become that. But in a world full of evil,
yeah,
your least of evil can be good.
Yeah,
and they wind up, of course, going over and then attacking Lurch and Dunn as they wind up retreating. And then again, you have Undisputed Era laying. Actually, I want to say Cole's holding O'Reilly, who's holding his jaw.
Yeah.
And Finn is maybe 2 feet in front of them, 3 feet in front of them, laid out kind of, but leaning up, looking at the guys laughing at the top of the runway. And that's how we cut to credits. What did you think?
I thought it was a great show as always, man. I love their storytelling. I love how they're, you know, slowly giving us some real competition for Undisputed Era. And
it is amazing how you can take Azia Lee and go, you know, we should be doing more with this, and do it. You can take, oh, well, then you know, we've had Breezango doing comedy skits up on the main roster for years. We'll take them down here and make them look like wrestlers. Ever Rise is floundering. We don't know what to do with them, but you know what? They're talented. We could do something with this.
Yeah, they can talk really well. Let's put them in a program where they get to talk.
Yeah. It's just amazing how you can continue to reinvent characters, make characters.
If you put some
correct your wrongs.
If you put some thought into it, look at Finn Balor being the greatest example.
Well, you know what, too? Zia Lee, Ever Rise, if they were on the other shows, TV time would be over for them.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it would be, well, they'll just do house shows and people think it's funny because they had a moment. now it might even jeopardize your job. They're on house shows.
Mm-hmm.
All NXT did was recreate the characters to make it work.
Yeah.
And they didn't even really crazy recreate it. No. Like, Xia Li was dancing around with the, what do you call the fans? Fans,
yeah.
She was doing the fan dancing thing, but still you knew she was a legitimate martial artist. They had her frustrated about losing for 2 weeks. They sent her away for three and had her train.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes back with a new character, and it works.
Yeah.
Because everything is still the same character. Ever Rise isn't acting completely different than they were. No,
they're just getting opportunities to show it better.
Right, and because they're heels.
Doesn't matter.
You can work magic with that. Yeah. You know, and it's just wonderful how they managed to do this.
Storytelling.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Right, right. I love this show. Great week.
Great. Enjoyed it.
All right, man. We'll see you next week. This has been a Go Home Heat production. Thanks to Daniel and Charles with the Gen Project and all they're doing over there with their online shop store. Check that out. And copyright 2021. Enjoy your week, folks.
Go home.